looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life challenges. Well, we're all joining here today. It's a Thursday, and it's such a crazy day because we never get to do Thursdays, but I'm so glad that we are because I've been calling it the bonus show, but really it's not. It's absolute. In fact, our author and our guest today is an author, and her chapter is actually number 3 in the book of What Self-Love Got to Do with It. And just everybody, a friendly reminder that if you get to comment or post or share anything that you see or hear about during our shows on Facebook, then you get entered into a draw to win your very own copy of What Self-Love Got to Do with It. And let me tell you, each story just takes me, like, it feels like it should be a movie on each one. And I'm so glad that each story does that because the layers to self-love are so, it's like they're never ending. And today is one, I don't think we even have one on us yet, but it is, you know what, it's about kind of like trauma, dealing with trauma and getting through trauma. And then what do you become after that? You become a survivor. And so our theme today is a survivor. And with that, it's all the stuff that you get to, and we have the most perfect person, most perfect author to be sharing what it takes to be a survivor, what that means, because she in fact gets to rescue them. And see, there's a dog, and I knew it, and that's perfect because you know what? Dogs are rescuers. Oh, this is so perfect. I want to welcome you right away, Stephanie, and ask you, what kind of dog is your dog?
Hello. Well, my dog didn't want to be left out. Thank you for having me. We're dog sitting today, so we actually have a golden retriever, a Weimaraner, and a chocolate lab.
Oh my gosh. Okay, they're all rescue dogs. You see that golden retriever? You know,
right.
Now I didn't get to introduce you yet, but I really felt that they wanted to be on the show first. So
and no problem there.
Yes, and you know what's actually really kind of cool, and I know we're really all over the place, which is great, is, you know, when people are in pain or they're suffering or they've been through trauma, animals are amazing healers. They're amazing. They don't judge. They're just there. Well, cats turn up their nose sometimes. Let me tell everybody a little bit about you because you do so much. Like, you're really out in the community and make, like, huge difference. So, everybody, this is Stephanie with an F. It's not a PH. This is Stephanie Davis Miller. she's a pet sitter. She is a mother, a wife, and a paramedic and a PTSD survivor. She advocates for people with PTSD and PTSI and OSI to prevent them from suffering in silence. Stephanie shares her message through public speaking, offering a glimpse of her journey to help others struggling with mental health injuries and provide a voice for those who feel they are without. Stephanie is valiantly committed to her advocacy work surrounding mental health in the first responder community. I want to make sure everybody knew this. An Ontario land paramedic, so she is Canadian, she is from Ontario here, not far from me. Stephanie is currently the Wings of Change facilitator for the Brantford branch, offering peer support meetings to the first responders and frontline worker communities where she currently serves. Certified in, and it's lots of little dots here, Manners and Assist, and Road to Mental Readiness, an R2MR training. Stephanie is the R2MR instructor for Brant County. She is an active participant in the development of a peer support group program and currently sits on a committee with the County of Brant developing a new CISM wellness team. Now, I know there's a lot of letters in there, Stephanie, but pretty much you are one of those people that we call 911 and say, please help, and you show up, and then you've got to deal and be in control of everything and calmly deal with everything. But meanwhile, you're witnessing trauma. So I want to highlight that for everybody right
now
and get that clear picture. And so what you've done and what your entire chapter, well, your chapter shares your traumas, but that you guys who are doing this, I mean, you've got your own
stuff and garbage and traumas that you've had to deal with too, as well as what you see, and where do you go for that?
Absolutely. So, you know, when I first started in the paramedic field, really, a number of years ago now, bringing, of course, my lived experience, but my previous traumas, I really felt like, and this is part of PTSD and part of the illness, but I felt like I was the only person. I felt, you know, like who else would, you know, get into this profession having all of this baggage? And I was ashamed of it. There was a lot of shame involved with that. And so I didn't share it with anybody. Through the years, with my advocacy work and just getting to know my coworkers, I'd just like to mention that there is a huge percentage of first responders, therapists, et cetera, that are in the field because they have experienced some sort of an adverse event in their life, and they've chosen these careers because they want to make a difference.
Mm.
So just to highlight, you know, what I do is not extraordinary, but it's special because it's my story and it's what I do. But there's a lot of my colleagues out there, you know, in these frontline working first responder fields that are doing just that, just in their own little way. So, sorry, I forget what you asked me.
Oh, you know, I probably didn't even ask there. This is an important conversation. We have really to go through things. My first question actually is, can you tell us what PTSD is?
Oh, sure. So I'm sure a lot of people have heard kind of the acronym in the news, you know, over the last couple of years. It's post-traumatic stress disorder. And so post-traumatic stress disorder is actually something that's difficult to diagnose. And it actually has to be diagnosed by a medical professional, i.e. a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And in the compendium or in the book or rules, if you wish, I can't get the words right now. Sorry, that's part of my PTSD sometimes. But basically, there is criteria that one needs to meet in order to be diagnosed with PTSD. So I found, you know, kind of in my travels, that a lot of people will say, oh, I've got PTSD, or people make jokes, or,
yes.
No, PTSD is a real thing. And, you know, a couple of the things is there had to be like a real threat to either the person's life or to someone very close to them, or perhaps a loss of life. It can include, violence, sexual violence. But it's really where that person has been put into such a traumatic event. That, you know, just kind of their day-to-day coping skills that, you know, a lot of us have is just they're overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, someone might experience something horrific for sure and kind of have those reactions where some of the symptoms might be, you know, difficulty sleeping, hypervigilance. So, you know, making sure that everyone around them is safe, making sure all the doors are locked, making sure, you know, people are walking around in a bubble. They may become, you know, obsessive, they may become cranky, irritable. In order for you to diagnose with PTSD, that type of behavior, those type of symptoms have to last beyond 4 weeks. So before we hit that 4 week period, it actually falls into a different category, which is something called acute stress disorder. Different categories. So PTSD is a funny thing. It's not black and white. It's actually very gray. And so sometimes in my situation, I think, what happened was, I started reacting and never really stopped until years later. Some people don't react at all. And so, you know, I've heard stories of, you know, say police officers that have worked a 32-year career and were fine, you know, quote unquote fine. And then after they retired, something triggered some sort of a response. And now
you were bringing up every word that is important. I was going to say, what if their act? That's so cool. No, what if somebody, you're right, doesn't really notice anything, but the odd time, a trigger, will put them back there or put whatever that is. Can you talk about the triggers? Just like, what is that? How long? Like, yeah, because triggers are weird. Like, can we make ourselves go back into, can we trigger ourselves, or is it always somebody else surprises us? You're the trigger.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not, as far as that, I mean, I'm certainly professional in the field of paramedicine, and I offer peer support under the Mental Health Commission's kind of guidelines as far as an informal. But I am not a trained psychologist or you know, therapist. So just, I want to put that disclaimer out there. But my understanding of triggers and kind of what that are, that can be anything. It can be a sound. It can be a smell. It can be, you know, a vision of something. It can be, for me, sometimes, actually it happened probably about 6 months ago. My husband and I were driving during or through a region that I used to work in. And we passed a spot on the highway where there had been an absolutely horrific, horrific accident. And I just started crying. It's not like... I wanted to cry. We were actually having a great day. Things were going well. And it was this subconscious switch that happened. I had no control over it. And all of a sudden it was just, I was right back there. I could see, I mean, I'm talking about it right now and I can see, you know, kind of what was happening. So, I mean, that's one, you know, kind of response. You know, sometimes for me, it's just, you know, being in a similar situation as to something that has, you know, kind of, you know, caused me trauma in the past. I think I'm a bit of a different case than most. My therapist tells me that all the time. I'm very special.
And that's why you're on the Bonus Thursday show.
Well, and there you go, right? Wait, there's more. But really, it's just that I've had, you know, traumas, which I talk about in the book, which is basically the cold notes of things that I've been exposed to and endured. So there's been a number of things that have happened throughout my personal life, but then you add on the job that I do where, you know, it can be multiple times in a day that I'm exposed to things and I'm triggered. And so that's what my therapist said to me. He said, you are constantly being bombarded and you're constantly having to, you know, implement your coping mechanisms, whether you realize that or not. So I actually have a diagnosis of complex PTSD, which quite honestly, I didn't even know until earlier this year when my therapist and I actually had that conversation and just about knocked me off my chair. Thankfully, I have a carpeted floor, so it would have been okay.
To share with everybody still too. So you, when we talk about traumas, this isn't just as your career. You had, like what we're kind of seeding here, you had trauma as a child or events that happened that traumatized you, because you talk right in the beginning of the chapter about perception.
Yes.
And I want to chew on this for a little bit, because perception, and you talk about it's a lived experience, but it's a choice and a weird, it's an interesting, so say the same, you had a terrible experience happen with you, and I couldn't, it says us, so I didn't know how many people were in the sexual assault thing, and I know it was just at least a friend, but could you both have been in that same situation, but only one of you have, you know, trauma from it?
Sure. So, I mean, given that the nature of kind of what happened, and you know, quite honestly, I'm not close with the other individual anymore. Right. Although I've you know, over the past years, I've seen her kind of fleetingly. She could certainly have a different, I think she is traumatized. I think, I don't know if she's ever received formal counseling or a formal diagnosis, but from what I understand of her life and how things have gone, I do believe that she probably does, because, you know, it was a brutal sexual assault. I mean, it's sexual violence. You know, our lives were threatened, and, you know, it's part of, yeah, part of that whole, you know, what causes PTSD is that helplessness, right? So I'm sure she explained that. But if I compare it to something like a call that I would do as a paramedic. So, you know, my partner and I enter into a call. Now, we both have different life experience. Maybe my partner is, you know, older or younger. Say my partner's a little bit younger than I am. They haven't, you know, gone through maybe some of the things, or just even with working experience that I have. We may walk out of that, say it's something horrific, like a suicide, and this sounds cold, and please forgive me, I don't mean to sound disrespectful to anyone, and I certainly take, you know, all of my calls seriously, but, you know, we'll go to some sort of call like that, or some sort of horrific call, and, you know, the only thing I can think about getting back into the truck is shoving, you know, half a sandwich in my mouth, because, you know, we've been going for 8 hours without a break, without a lunch, without, you know, whereas my partner might get back into the vehicle and not be hungry at all. have a complete right. loss of appetite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different partners that I've worked with over the years, you know, and a partner in itself is a very important thing. So depending on who you're working with, I've had some very close relationships with some of them where, you know, if we're on something that disturbs us, we're able to kind of debrief, an informal debrief in the car or in the ambulance where we talk about it. And, you know, there are times that we do calls that are so awful that, you know, we are, you know, we decide to go and we're going to go and get an ice cream and we're crying on the way driving after the call. And
here's
if we're weight training, yeah, we'll go to like Popeyes, right? We'll get a nutrition bar that tastes good because that makes it better. So, I mean, that really helps as well. But absolutely, given that we have all, you know, you and I, my sister, you know, my husband, whoever that might be, we've all been brought up with different life experiences. And so to any situation that we're, you know, it could be something as simple as feeding the dog this evening. I might be approaching that in a completely different headspace than, say, my 16-year-old mm-hmm. son. So mm-hmm. it is very, very individual.
I find that so interesting and helpful because I'm going to find it a little later after the commercial, but there's a line that we really do talk about that perception. Not everybody is so different. I can't even believe you said feeding your dog. I love animals, but when I was little, I actually really was afraid of my dog, only because I was little and she was a big husky and gorgeous mm-hmm. and friendly, but jumpy and puppyish, and I was terrified. And mm-hmm. And to them, they're like, you're just feeding the dog. I'm like, this is a big event every day that you ask me to do this, right?
Yeah.
So I love that you mentioned that. So when we do come back, I want to just work on that perception there, because if you could help anybody right now listening identify that maybe they are dealing with something, that they're worth going to find out if they do need help and how they can get help, because that's where I want to sit when we come back. So everybody listening, you guys got some big stuff to identify, hopefully really calmly and peacefully when we come back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us here on Light on Living. I'm Lisa Berry, and we have
Stephanie Davis Miller here with us as she is walking us through how to get to that other side of survivor and how to survive things. And with self-love comes self-care. And one of the ways that we can even start with self-care, and it doesn't even have to be emotional because maybe we're not there yet. Maybe we're still a little bit closed and can't quite accept it. But one thing is information. And I love, Stephanie, that you had written on one of the, in part of your chapter there, was that you at first one time were thinking, okay, great, I'm going to go to therapy, and your expectation was that they're going to fix you and take away all the pain. And then you wrote, but what really happened was that didn't happen, but what helped was information.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the different modalities, treatment modalities work for different people. And even in saying that, you know, I've been, you know, dealing with this PTSD thing, if you wish, for just about 25 years. Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot of time and experience to try out different things and see what works and what doesn't. And even with that, something that may have worked, you know, say 10 years ago might not work for me today. And that's okay. And that's normal because life isn't static. We're not static. And so as we grow and learn mm-hmm. and change, you know, we need different types of stimulation or, you know, therapy, if you wish, in order to look after ourselves and to stay healthy, which is really important to understand.
That's really, you just made my brain kind of wrap around something. What may have worked something 10 years ago, maybe doesn't now. And here's an interesting one. I was going to ask you about the question of to cope with something and coping. And here's an example and a question rolled into one. What if, you know, 20 years ago, somebody went through trauma and found that alcohol allowed them to cope? But then 20 years later now, they think, you know what? I no longer want to drink. And they stop drinking. But yet now, boom, they haven't dealt with, they haven't fixed or healed that trauma. And now they're going to go. So is coping part of healing, or is coping just kind of a Band-Aid?
So big question. there's a couple. Yeah, absolutely. So healing is absolutely possible with you know, injuries such as PTSD. I think, you know, and there are different schools of thought, but my understanding and, you know, lived experience again has shown me that I will never not have PTSD. So my personal belief and, you know, and that's backed up by, you know, again, you know, experience and education and whatnot, is that you can never cure PTSD. So in that healing process, part of the healing process for me is then discovering coping mechanisms. So coping mechanisms, I'd like to use those two words together instead of just cope. Yeah. Because I think that mechanism suggests that there's an action involved. Yeah. And I think that's a really important thing when I, you know, do my speaking or you know, just have a chance to speak with individuals. That is such an important part of healing, of you know, moving forward and being able to be a you know, productive, healthy, reasonably healthy, you know, participant in your life, and you know, contributor to the society and your community. When you're injured, anytime you're injured, whether it's a stub toe or, you know, a mental health injury, I feel like it's almost like the stages of grief, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a time to, you know, you know, ouch, that really hurt, you know, and kind of think about it that way. There's a time to be sad. There's a time to feel like you're the victim. Absolutely. But the problem is that sometimes people get stuck there mm-hmm. and they forget about the next steps, and those next steps are taking action. And that action involves you being an active participant in your healing process, meaning you have to put in the work. And the problem is that the work in healing with PTSD is often very, very painful. And when you're going through the – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and the painful, just to – I want the listeners to say, oh, my gosh, what does that mean, painful? Because I've got the list of the words that you use in this. And they, you know what? For somebody, this is really interesting that you say this, because here's the list, guys. She experienced it this time when she – and I love you said, over the years I suffered. I didn't know I was sick. And you talked about the numbness Now, how many people are there feeling, I'm not even going to feel, I'm going to ignore it. The hopelessness, I can't do anything about this. The emptiness, the loss that you'd feel, the uncontrollable anger, the risky behavior. We have to jump in to talk about some of these. The suicidal ideations and depression, they had become your norm. Now, those are wow states. And,
yeah.
And they're dark, like you say. And I do want to just sit there because you're right. When you're in those ones, action, other than, you know, risky behaviors or, you know, suicide, these, I can't, like, you know, the numbness and the emptiness, those are so far from action.
Absolutely.
And how do they get that, like that, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like a vicious cycle, you know, when you're going through those emotions, you know, again, so, you know, any one of those things that I mentioned in the book that I went through, you know, there's the initial just devastation. Really, I can't think of a better, you know, word to use, just absolute and complete devastation. And yeah, absolutely. There is time to grieve. I mean, you know, in each one of those situations, there was a loss of something, right? There was a loss of my best friend. There was a loss of the safety of you know, our place in Florida and just, you know, maybe my innocence and the fact that all of a sudden I had to, you know, jump in and kind of rescue my sister. You know, there was obviously the loss of my personal safety with the sexual assault, among other things, right? My dignity,
yeah.
My pride. And so, yeah, you know, it's pretty deep and it's all encompassing. The action part is realizing, getting to that point and realizing that you need help and being willing to work at it, being willing to go to your therapy appointments, if that's what you're doing, and actually, you know, have a discussion, have a conversation with your therapist. And let's say you don't get along with the first therapist that you're, you know, connected with, and that's okay because we're people, we're human. Just like you might not get along with everybody that you work with at work. They're not all your friends. You wouldn't go and have a picnic with everyone. Well, that's the same with therapists. So to be able to take the action and the responsibility to say, you know what, thank you, but this isn't working for me. I'd like to try somebody else. You know, taking action in going to those appointments every week or once a month. You know, taking action, like a simple thing of getting up in the morning. It's kind of like that. There was a thing on Facebook I saw a while ago where it was a speech, and it was a gentleman from the military, and he talked about every morning get up and make your bed.
Yeah.
You know, because that is the first thing that you can look at in the day and say that you've accomplished. And it's so true. Get up, make your bed, you know, have a shower. Because when you're that depressed and when you're that low, you just, things like that they really don't matter. And you're so wrapped up, you don't even notice it's happening. You know, when I was at one of my lows, you know, and it got to the point where, you know, I had one of my, this is a little emotional, sorry. No, it's okay. But one of my friends, you know, came to my house, you know, every morning that I wasn't working, she showed up at my house first thing in the morning. And at first I had no idea why she was doing it. She would come and she'd bring me a coffee or she'd just stop in. And I had no idea that I was so depressed and so far gone that she was coming as a wellness check. She was coming to make sure that I hadn't overdosed or had, you know, some God forsaken thing happened to me where I had suicide. She was coming to make sure that I was safe and that my kids were safe every morning.
No.
And I didn't realize that
gratitude that was welling up in you right there.
Oh absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. She's a pretty amazing, lady. You know, when I was working as a single mom and I was juggling my two jobs, we used to joke and I used to call her my work husband or my whatever, because she did everything. She looked after my kids. I would drop them off in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and they'd go sleep on her couch. Mm-hmm. She would make me a lunch. She was like, I'm so grateful for her. She's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, and that is part of healing as well, is having a support system, which I'm fortunate that I did have.
And, you know, we're talking there about, you know, that taking action. And here's why I think it's really important and what taking action does is I love that you really highlighted that kit. You get, or I don't know what it's called, like you just get the post-traumatic stress disorder when there's a threat and there's loss involved. And when there's threat and loss involved, you lose your power. And by taking action, like making your bed or just doing those small things, that actually empowers you.
Absolutely.
And I love it. That is a really neat thing to think about right now. If anybody's kind of stuck and they've had trauma and they've had loss and they've been threatened and they've lost their dignity, their everything, it is, it's those small actions that don't, they seem so little. And I just, yes, I love that you said that. Just it's any actions, even reaching out, because reaching out is that is an action. It's a personal one and a generalized one. But when you said the word, you know, survivor, that's, you know, the theme. It's really about a survivor. I'm going to be really honest here. I have such a thing with that word. I really actually, I have like a hate relationship with it. And I'll tell you why. When my mom, she passed now, but when she had the cancer and then she made it through, I think it's 7 years or so, a certain amount of years that you have to be deemed cancer-free and then you're called a survivor. Right. And I guess used to get, I go, Mom, don't let somebody else tell you when you're a survivor. Cause she's, I'm not a survivor yet. I've got 2 years to go. And I'd be like, no, you're a survivor now. And I would get so much. So anyways, I had this like love-hate relationship with the
word. Absolutely. Absolutely.
When are you a survivor?
Yeah. Well, I actually have the same type of relationship with that word. for a long time, I kind of told myself, yep, I survived it and I'm tough and I'm going to advocate for everybody. And, you know, look at me. And I listened to the Beyonce song and I'd like, yeah, that's me. And it's funny, I heard a gentleman by the name of Alvin Law, who's just a phenomenal motivational speaker. He spoke actually earlier this year in February at an event that I also spoke at with the Tema Contra Memorial Trust. And Alvin talks about himself, you know, not being a victim, but being a victor. And so then I agree with what he said and his, you know, his story is very different from mine. But I took from that and I thought, yeah, you know what? I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. And, you know, was really kind of focused on that for a little while. And then speaking with my therapist, who is just an amazing man, and I don't know where I would be without him.
No.
But he, you know, said to me, he said, Steph, you are a victim. He's like, you can't be a victor or a survivor without being a victim. And I was mad. I was mad at him for telling me that. I thought, are you, you know, but I mean, and again, this is why I like him, because he gives me checks all the time that I definitely need. So I think I've come full circle, and I think I'm proud to say again that, yes, I am a survivor, and I don't mind when people, you know, kind of throw that label on me. But again, I just, you know, I have to throw, you know, the disclaimer that, you know, this is not unique. I am not unique. There are so many people like your mom, you know, out there that are survivors. It's just that today we're focused on my story and, you know, that I've decided, you know, that go through adversity piece that I want to share my story, so that other people can kind of recognize within themselves. Oh, wait. Whoa, you know, I've made it past that. Or wow, that happened when, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago, and here I am today. I'm still going. Wow, maybe I'm a survivor too.
Well, there's one thing that I really want to highlight that you survived totally, because and a lot of people are dealing with this right now. Is and I highlighted this when I was reading your chapters. You were in a very unhealthy marriage relationship. You had children with this relationship, and it was not supportive. It was dysfunctional and unhappy. How does one? I have to throw in there that you also were in a career that was, you know, unhealthy, and then had to leave in a very not nice way. But when you're that's traumatic, and when you're dealing with all this trauma and stuff, and then do you find that you choose unhealthy things and are you more attracted to them because you are, and until you get an alignment, or can you correct it and stay in an unhealthy? Can you correct the trauma and work with the trauma, and or do you really need the support of all healthy aspects of life?
I think you really do need the support. I would be lying to you if I told you that I am always healthy and I'm always making the right choice and I'm just you know, perfect and I'm you know, because I'm not. And the unfortunate side to the PTSI, post-traumatic stress injury, I like to use that word because it is an injury. It wasn't my fault. And so that's one thing that a lot of people that have these things, they need to understand that. So that really helped me with the label. I guess just going back, when I received the diagnosis, I didn't even know what it meant. I was just at a point in my life where I'm like, there's something wrong. Please, just someone tell me what's wrong and let's fix it. So then kind of, you know, moving forward, you know, I still flip. It's taken me a long time to use my words. You know, I used to always say that to my kids when they were little. They point, you know, 2-year-old, and I want this, and, you know, use your words. Well, I have to use my big girl words.
Right.
I have to communicate. And I am just so fortunate that I have a wonderful, supportive husband now who is not in the 911 field, but cares enough, is interested enough, I guess maybe invested enough in me that he watches what I go through, and we've been able to talk about a lot of things. And he will often, it's often my husband, my kids, my parents, my partner at work, friends, it's often then he notices that I'm starting to spiral down. And it happens, and it'll happen a couple times a year. It's not, it's just the extent, right? And so that's where those coping mechanisms come into play. And a lot of, you know, I've tried to create a reasonably healthy environment for myself. So I have a therapist that I'm very fortunate that if I am having an awful, awful day, I can reach out to this therapist, and he will get back to me when it's possible. He may be in an appointment, he may be on the road, but he will get back to me that day.
Yeah.
And if I need a session, he will drop everything and we'll have a session right then and there to make sure that I'm okay. You know, I have my husband, I have my family who now understands what I'm going through. I have a couple of safe people, you know, as far as, you know, paramedics, fellow paramedics that I can talk to. You know, so I have a lot of those coping mechanisms that I didn't in the past. And like I said, this is 25 years in the making. So taking a long time to get there, but certainly, yeah, I'll have a good glass of wine, or it's turned into 2 or maybe 3 one night. And then my husband's like, really, you know, you don't work tomorrow. What are you doing? And I'm like, oh,
right. We know that, right? The neat thing is that you've taken this, and we've still got 30 seconds before commercial, but, you've taken this, and because you've done 25 years of figuring out how the coping mechanisms here and building the support system, you go out and educate, give the piece of information to other people. They can recognize, first of all, that they are suffering, and then recognize that they need somebody, or you're actually reaching out to people who might recognize those who need help. So you're on quite the mission of building this awareness, and that really offers action and support. So when we do come back, though, I would love to hear if you know, confidentially share some stories that somebody else might recognize, that's me, or I know a person who is in that situation that needs help, so that we can start offering them some ways of some of those mechanisms.
Sure.
All righty. So we're off to commercial, and then we shall turn with that.
Thank you.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg roll showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hey everyone, I hope you guys are listening and you are excited to post and share and comment and let us know what you think about these shows. Because first of all, you get entered into a draw to win one of the copies of What Self-Love Got to Do with It. And that is because that's what Light on Living and Lisa Berry want. And they want you to all have this. But the thing today is really fun. We're talking about being a survivor, what that means and how to get there. And what have you gone through in the first place to even become a survivor? Now, Stephanie Davis Miller is here, and I love that she has a statement that she makes in one of her chapters, well, her chapter in this book, is that she says, if I can help just one person to understand that these feelings, behaviors, and personality changes are normal reactions to the exposure of traumatic events, then it is worth it. And there's a lot in there because we actually, having talked about personality changes, and I want to touch a little bit on the suicide attempts, because you actually write the number of first responder suicides is constantly climbing. So, Stephanie, there's a couple, those are two giant things right there. But I also want to make sure that I do ask you, and personally, if you don't mind sharing, how do you feel about medication to get through? Was that one of the coping mechanisms? Did you take medication? What is your whole view on that?
Sure. So, actually, I'll start off by saying yes, I did. I was medicated at the beginning. So, in 2000, when I finally, saw a psychiatrist, who then referred me on to a See, there's my PTSD kicking, and I get aphasic. I don't remember the words. Anyway, so a psychotherapist, thank you. So basically, the psychiatrist's job is just, she is the one that writes the prescription for the medications. You go in, once a month or whatever it is, and they have this check sheet, this questionnaire that you fill out, and it kind of puts you at some sort of a number on a scale as to how severe your depression, your anxiety, your PTSD is, and kind of moving forward. And that's how they gauge, the treatment modalities and what you need moving forward. What I can tell you, though, is so this is pre-paramedic stuff. This is just Stephanie, wife of a police officer, daughter of a police officer at the time, mother of one. There was stigma there. When the doctor told me that I needed to be put on an antidepressant and, a sleeping aid and whatnot, I was devastated. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. And that's a huge part of unfortunately, my personality, thanks to this injury that I have that I'm working daily to kind of overcome. But I really struggled with it. But I took the medication. The dogs are saying hi again. I took the medication because I realized that I needed it. And again, so coming back to that coping mechanism, it was explained to me that I didn't necessarily need to be on that medication for my entire life. But at this point, I was in such a predicament, if you wish, because of the choices that I made, that I needed it in order to help level me out and help me through those first, months of many months of therapy and whatnot to get me kind of stable. And I was on that medication for 2 years.
Okay. And so, did you get off yourself? Or how, like,
I did. Certainly I got off the medication. I weaned myself down with the assistance of my medical professional. So I would never, ever, ever, as paramedic staff, don't stop your medication. There are tremendous side effects that can be experienced, and it's actually quite dangerous. So if anyone is currently taking medication and feels, because a lot of people, the medication does its job. So all of a sudden you feel like you can cope with things again and things are fine and you're not getting as upset. Well, that's because the medication's working. And that's part of the reason that they wean you off, right? To see how you're feeling after we've gone down 25 milligrams or whatever that might look like,
right,
depending on the medication you're taking.
So you went and you had, we'll call it talk therapy. Did you also use other modalities?
For me, nature's always been a big thing, and physical fitness. So, certainly, you know, the therapy, absolutely, 100%. I definitely needed, that talk therapy, mm-hmm. psychotherapy, and different kind of techniques were used within that. But I found and continue to find for me, I really need to tire myself, to exert myself, whether that be, you know, on a stationary bicycle or on a road bike. I have historically enjoyed running. I'm not a great runner, but I, you know, do go out and do it. And I find, even if it's on a treadmill, that half an hour or whatever that looks like, is really a time for me to clear my head a little bit. I need to get the bad energy out. Because as much as, like I said, you know, I'm healing, I'm a work in progress, there's still a lot of stuff in there, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm exposed to and re-exposed to. And so you really need to purge that energy, whatever that might look like. And I certainly don't want to talk to my husband or my friends, most of them, even my paramedic friends or first responder friends. I don't necessarily want to vicariously traumatize them,
yes.
by sharing the horrible, grievous, you know, details of something that I've just witnessed, or even some of my own stuff, which, you know, I still really haven't shared completely with my husband, although he knows it was awful. I mean, what's the point?
Wow.
So you need to get that out.
Yeah. That's so interesting you say that, because here you, as a responder, you have signed up, let's call it, you've volunteered and said, I want to respond to people who are in traumatic events and I can help them.
Yes.
Just as a psychologist, a therapist, a coach, or somebody has signed up to say, I am doing what I need to do to prepare myself so I can hear your trauma as well and respond to you. Whereas our friends and our families and stuff, I mean, there's a different dynamic in that relationship that can be harmed, and you're right. And I know for myself, when somebody's going to tell me a story because maybe they're traumatized by seeing something with animals, I always go, no, I will be traumatized. And I literally say that. I go, that you can't get it out when you put it in there. And I don't have the mechanisms to cope with it. And
absolutely.
So, yeah, and I have those boundaries that I can say that and be very rude and actually literally get up and walk away and plug my ears if they continue. In saying that, have you been able to identify one of either a coworker or a friend that has been, maybe had been traumatized or even has PTSD, but you were able to identify and support them?
So I just wanted to go back to just one word that you used there, boundary. And I just want to highlight that. That is something that I'm constantly working on and constantly reminded of. And I just really admire that you said that you are able to implement that boundary for yourself. And that is totally a self-care, self-love thing that you're doing there.
Yes.
You understand, I can't do this. Thank you, but I can't. And so for all of us out there, I think it's not being rude. Like you said, it's not being rude. It's actually protecting yourself. It's self-preservation. My partner's like that. She can't stand, just like you, she can't stand anything to do with, you know, harm to animals. And so if anyone brings something up or they try to show something, she's like, no. You know? But legitimately, like, she does not want to be exposed. And why should you, you know? It's one of the reasons I don't watch the news. I don't want to be exposed to anything more than I need to be. I see enough. So that was just touching on the boundaries. I thought it was a great word. And then I'm sorry, what was the question that you asked?
If there had been somebody that you would recognize some symptoms, like just as you're working, if there's been a paramedic that you've come along and said, I think this person needs a little more help than what they might even know. And they're not, and I love that you use this word in your chapter, that they may not be vulnerable enough to ask for help.
Yeah, so it's a really tricky thing in my profession. Paramedics are probably one of the worst patients. We look after everybody else's problems. So it's very, very difficult for us as paramedics to accept that something might be wrong with us and that we need help. So it's a very, very delicate, I don't know, line, I guess, really, that I walk on, especially where I work right now, in this area specifically. And I don't know, maybe other people in other services would say the same thing, but certainly in my service, the stigma is huge. And it's still really an old boys mentality, and, you know, people aren't really that open to speak about it. So if there, you know, was, say, a coworker, you know, certainly there are things that I recognize in some people sometimes, and I may offer some gentle suggestions. But, you know, until the person's ready to accept help, there's not a lot you can do. So, again, you can gently point things out, or, you know, you can make things available, which I do. That's one of the things I do through the Wings of Change. And most recently I've had this beautiful, beautiful farm owned by this wonderful couple. And they basically created this gorgeous room for me to hold my meetings. And not only that, but to use their grounds. If I have a first responder who is struggling or just wants to come and talk, just to bring them out and walk through and enjoy the horses and pigs and goats and sheep. And it's just, and you know, this place is gorgeous. And in the background, they have this beautiful, tranquil music playing that you can hear almost throughout the whole farm. It's just, it's paradise. I absolutely love this place, and I'm so grateful. So that might be something that I do. Hey, let's go.
Okay, home. I'm not a first responder, but I want to come.
You would be welcome to come out. You've got my number.
That would be fun to do a little piece on that. I would love to do that. You know, because I think we're only a couple hours apart, but I want to make sure we highlighted that, because if there's somebody listening right now, no, it doesn't mean you have to even come out to see Stephanie. You could call her. You could email her. Like, there's ways of getting a hold of you. And I do, if you want to just take this opportunity right now to do that invitation,
sure.
And to then to reach out to you in their own private, calm, delicate way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, I mean, again, and that's a huge thing. And so just, you know, to kind of a disclaimer there, if there was anyone that decided that they would like to reach out, I take your privacy very seriously. So it would be, you know, anonymous. You're welcome to, you know, send me an email if you are looking for any information, and that's certainly not something that I would share with anyone else, except, you know, in a situation where you allowed me to do so. The best way to get me, if you're on Facebook, I do have a page there. It's just called Stephanie, S-T-E-S-A-N-I-E, Stephanie Speaks. But I also have a website, and that's just www.stephaniespeaks.com. On that website, on the top, there's a couple of different tabs that you can click on. And one of those tabs is resources. And so I do have a list of resources there, different websites, different organizations that do offer support for first responders specifically. Because, again, this is something that there's not a lot of information out there. And that's one of the huge barriers, right, is that people don't know where to get the information. And when you're hurting, you certainly don't have the energy to do so. But on top of that, if you did want to reach out and send an email, I have a box full of resources from all sorts of different organizations that I'm happy to share. And then beyond that, through Stephanie Speaks, I am holding a workshop in Brantford. It's going to be on November 2nd in the evening, that's a Friday evening, from 7 to 10 p.m. And I'm going to have guest speakers, Brian Noller and Kathy Noller, husband and wife team. He's an OPP officer, and they experienced a PTSD issue, challenge, if you wish, in their home. And so the whole talk that evening is focused really on the family, because that's what I'm hearing a lot of first responders looking for. You know, I'm dealing with this. What about my wife? What about my kids? You know, I'm acting funny and I'm having all these problems. They don't understand. How could they? So what Stephanie Speaks is doing is basically I'm working to put on these workshops for first responders and the families to attend that are accessible. So I'm really working hard to get funding any way I can to keep the cost low, because I certainly don't want that to be a barrier for anyone, you know, who's looking to attend for information. So the listing will be on the website, and I haven't quite got to the point of getting the tickets up, but I'm thinking the tickets are going to be about $20 each. And
will you stream
the cover? Pardon me?
Will you be streaming this live?
This webcast?
Well, the event, like the event that you're doing. Will that
be
able...
a great question. I'm not sure if I'm going to. I'm not sure. I'm still new at this event planning stuff. I'm not sure. I would have to speak with the speakers on that to see if that's something that we can do. But certainly a possibility. We're looking at.
Yeah, we have to get everybody accessible. So this is in my, and I just want to highlight your I'm going to do your website again here. Wait, back to my little notes. Where's what I've got? You're right on your thing here. So there we go. So it's Stephanie with an F, everybody. So it's S-T-E-S-A-N-I-E, Speaks, Stephanie Speaks. And that's how you can, I just want to make sure the spelling focus and get you there. And on just this final closing, because this is so important that everybody understands this part. In your lessons learned, everybody in the chapter here in the book has lessons learned and mindset tips. If you say you are the only one that can fix yourself, but then also it's also important not to be weak, and you can ask for help. Now, here's my thing. You ask for help, but then you do the work because it's you. And so, Stephanie, in that final comment, there's like just to highlight that there's two very important steps so you don't get stuck as a victim, but you don't get stuck as doing it alone.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the most important things about when you actually reach out and ask for help and you're brave enough to make yourself vulnerable, you would be surprised at the amount of support that you receive. You just have to take that step. And there's so many people out there that are willing to help you, but do the work. The resources are out there. I'm trying to make them more available and accessible for people to find, but there are people out there that care. And finally, just for people to understand that you're not alone in this. One of the, like I mentioned before, one of those, the main, you know, kind of feelings that you feel is that you are the only person that's going through this, that you are alone, that everyone's thinking about you, talking about you, whatever. You're not alone.
You're
not alone. We care. We're with you.
And with all that, it says this is why this whole month is about self-love. And you matter. You are worth caring about, and you're worth going through this process. So I want to thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining us and sharing this with. And I want everybody to read your chapter out of the book, What Self-Love Got to Do with It.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. And everybody on the line, don't forget to go to www.lightonliving.com and sign up to the listeners list. And why do you want to do that? Because you would be knowing exactly what shows are going to be coming up, like today's, so you can not only come and join, but then listen to the replay or share it and let people know who really these shows matter. And the speakers and the guests and the authors that come on to share their story, this is them really pouring, you know, their heart and soul into just helping one person and the whole world at the same time. So I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll see you again, or talk to you again on a Monday. Let's continue this month of self-love. Bye, everyone.